Please stand with me for today's gospel lesson. Today's reading comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Here we are, beginning another week in the unexpected adventure. Some of you are having a good time with it, I know. I've had a wonderful opportunity visiting with one of our families yesterday, and they're right into the unexpected adventure. And we have a wonderful week beginning, as we move towards the end of this unexpected adventure, a time of personal devotions and prayer, knowing that at least 120 or 30 people within the congregation are doing that every day as we prepare for our new season. I think it's just an indelible part of who we are as we get ready to begin a new year together, a new program year together, that we pray together and we ask God's guidance and wisdom as we move toward the future. One of the studies, devotionals coming up for this week is the impact of evidence. I'd like to become a Christian, but I still have a few questions that are hanging me up. You know, and I think, you know, if we're all honest, we still have questions. We're still people searching for answers, and today's message deals with part of this unexpected adventure that is ours in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, we celebrate life as we come together this day. We celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ read for us, your holy word, as it guides, inspires, excites us, and gives us motivation and direction for the future. Thank you. And as we gather in your name, as we prepare for a picnic, regardless of the weather, as we meet as the body of Christ, it is always a joy to be in your presence. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, from about.com, that's really a website, about.com, comes an alphabetical list of the top 25 comfort foods. And I bring these up because I just am sort of interested in seeing how many of these comfort foods appear at the picnic today. I mean, these are the kinds of things we sort of cherish. When we have a struggling day or a weak moment or just a busy schedule or things are just coming unraveled, we seek some of these foods because it gives us sort of peace of mind as well as a full stomach. And these are the foods. I lift them up. Apple pie that begins that whole list. And rightly so. Apple pie, baked beans, banana pudding, beef stew, brisket pot roast, chicken and dumplings, chicken pot pie, chicken soup, chili, chocolate chip cookies, corn on the cob, That's just the seas. Fried chicken. Do you have fried chicken much anymore? Golly, I remember growing up and fried chicken was just a part of the household word. You know, wow, was that good stuff. I mean, be soaking up that lard and that grease and it just let it cook and it tastes so good and juicy. And now they tell us it has to be baked. So go ahead and do it. Fried chicken, bring it. Gelatin. Green bean casserole, grilled cheese, hot dogs, ice cream, macaroni and cheese, mashed potatoes, meatloaf, peanut butter and jelly, potato salad, pumpkin pie, shepherd's pie, spaghetti, tomato soup, and tuna casserole. You notice tuna casserole was at the end, and I think the Lord had a plan for that. But pumpkin pie is in there too. That was one of Jesus' favorites. At least I think so in my heart of hearts because it tastes so good. I would imagine he would have loved it if he could have had a piece of my mom's pumpkin pie. And along with all the comfort foods comes the comfort favorite snack foods we all enjoy. Those things that we just whoop out of the cupboard at any point in time, especially before dinner, and just eat a whole lot of them. And I just want to see where you come from as we turn to Alan Hirsch. He is, I got a kick out of this. He is the neurological director of the Smell and Taste Treatment and Research Foundation in Chicago. Whoa, what a big title that is. He gave, about 1,000 people personality tests and then asked them to name their favorite snack foods in conjunction with this test that he gave them. The results reported in the Journal of Alternative Medicine, for those of you who read that religiously, the results were astounding. And people who share a personality type chose the same snack 95% of the time. Okay, we're going to test you this morning. Now, do we have anybody who are lovers of cheese curls, those little cheese, you have, anybody like those? Go ahead. None of these are bad. These are all good things. I'm not going to say anything bad. Just good things. The lovers of cheese curls have a high sensitivity to morals and ethics and insist on treating everyone fairly. See, you're pretty good folks. Anybody here for tortilla chips? Oh, I don't care whether they have lime in them or not. Any kind of tortilla chips. You are perfectionists, successful and ambitious, and you like to plan ahead. How about popcorn? Anybody for popcorn? Any flavor, any kind, any time, especially during church. It's good. Popcorn. You're a take charge type, but with a modest, low-key demeanor. Woo! That's pretty cool. And how about nuts? I don't care. Hazelnuts, walnuts, cashew nuts, any kind. All right, good on you. You are even-tempered, easy to get along with, and highly empathetic. Man alive, Mike Beard falls into that category. Now, this is one of my downfalls. How about potato chips? Any and every kind of potato chip. Man alive. You're achievement-oriented, successful, and competitive. Is that you, Jeff? Yep, there you are. there you go. Let's have some for lunch today, okay? Be good. And one other one, pretzels. I don't care. Hanover pretzels, preferably. Pretzel people, here we are. You are the life of a party and become easily bored with the routine. And the life goes on and the list goes on for snack foods. In studying John, the 6th chapter, and especially today's scripture lesson, Jesus runs into some very serious snack lovers. I mean, not chip and dip kind of snack lovers, but some very serious snack lovers. And the story begins, the 6th chapter, about the 2nd verse, with a large crowd following Jesus, in part because of the signs that he is doing in healing the sick and caring for the needy. And he feeds a crowd of 5,000 people, plus all the children and others who slipped in, with what? 5 barley loaves and two fish. Now you see, there's something even in the New Testament that should tickle our fancy, because you noticed it was not white bread. It was barley loaves. He was health conscious even in those days. Five barley loaves and two fish. And then he withdrew to the mountain by himself. Why? Because they were so impressed with him, they thought what they would do is make him a king. He said, I don't want to have anything to do with that. The disciples set out for Capernaum, and Jesus catches up with them by what? Walking on the water. They never talk about that very much. And the very next day, the crowd follows him, and Jesus says, you've come looking for me not because you saw God in my actions, but because I fed you. Wow. You talk about honest and upfront. I mean, I was doing all of these things, and you didn't follow me because I was serving God and representing God to you. No, you followed me because I filled your stomachs with bread, and it was free. 6:26 in today's scripture. Wow. What kind of honesty? So how do we define these kind of bread lovers? How do we define us? I mean, the snack people, the ones who like the comfort food. How do we define all of us? Jesus' time and our time. One author says, we're all enthusiasts. And he puts it this way. And people whose basic desire is to be satisfied and content and to have all their needs met. Afraid of being deprived, they want more than anything to maintain their happiness, avoid missing out on worthwhile experiences, and keep themselves excited and occupied. That sounds like us. Just like us. Not just in Jesus' time, but in this time, enthusiasts. People who want to have everything, who don't want to be deprived of anything, and who want to live life sort of on the cutting edge, excited. Prepared for anything. Be occupied. Oh my gosh, we grew up with that guideline, didn't we? That work ethic sort of entered into most of us, at least from my generation. You were always to be occupied. The day of rest was, wow, scarce for many. Bono, the front man for the rock group U2, you know him. He's a Christian, by the way. He sums up our desires and our wishes in some hit lyrics he gives us. I've climbed the highest mountain. I've run through the fields. I have run. I have crawled. I have scaled these city walls. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Part of the reason we come to church is because we still haven't found what we're looking for. And we're still trying to find it. There are millions upon millions of people who are still trying to find something that will give meaning to their lives, some sense of destiny for the future, something to hold on in their weakest moments, something to give hope in the most hopeless times of our lives. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Jesus raises the question, what are you looking for? What are you working for? And I sort of stretched this passage of Scripture 6:26 just a little bit. If you want to read it, take a look at it. What are you looking for? What are you working for? Says Jesus. Is not whole wheat bread, raisin cranberry bread, sourdough bread, pumpernickel or rye food that perishes? What you must work for is the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. I know rye bread is good. I mean, I know sourdough. I just love homemade bread of any kind. It's just all good. And Jesus said, not that kind of food. There's another kind of food which the Son of Man will give you. And what is the response from this waffling crowd after Jesus talks to them, delivers a message, makes clear his point? What is their response? This is it. Why don't you give us a clue about who you are? Just a hint of what's going on. And when we can see what's up, we'll commit ourselves. Show us what you can do. Moses fed our ancestors with bread or manna in the desert. And it says in the scriptures, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. You know, after Jesus talks to the crowd, they still don't get it. After all, Moses gave us bread. According to bellybites.com. I love that one. Neither do we. We don't get it either. A list of the top 10 worst eating habits in the nation. I know none of you follow any of these. We're still trying to find the answer. We're still trying to find the bread that will nourish us and give meaning to our lives. And so we try these things. Binging. And starving yourself. Not knowing what you eat. Eating sugar, white flour, caffeine, and simple carbs. What is wrong with that? I mean, I read that again and again. I said, "Why? Sugar, white flour, caffeine, and simple carbs. 97.7% of all we eat is made up of those things. Except for those of us who are required to eat it, like in my household, a multiple different varieties of lettuce every day. Skipping breakfast. Now we hear that that's the most essential meal of the day, and I'm not going to ask for hands of people who skip breakfast in here. Not exercising and not drinking enough water, and that's the great sin in Colorado if you don't drink enough water. Well then, Lord, what is good for us, asked the crowd. If none of these are going to help us, what is good for us? Could it be, and I got this, I borrowed Carolyn's AARP magazine. And I, when the question is asked, well then, Lord, what is good for us? The crowd responds, could it be living in the beautiful island of Icaria in Greece, bathing in hot springs, taking daily naps, following a Mediterranean diet, walking a lot, eating bread and honey, and getting religion? I don't know if you've read this article, for those of you who get the magazine. This is really cool. I'm going to move there when I retire. It's an island, a mountainous island. It's about, what, 99 miles square. And the people there live an awesome life. One out of every three reaches 90 years of age without any difficulty. The one they highlight in the story is a guy who was told he had stomach cancer in a short time to live, and he went to the island of Icaria. He is now 93 and doing quite well. One half the heart disease that we experience in the United States, and 20% less cancer than we experience in the United States. And the article also went on to say, there is no Alzheimer's and no dementia. Whoa, where is that place? Well then, Lord, what is good for us? It sounds like we find it. Jesus can't believe the crowd or us because of our response. And his response to the crowd and to you and to me who would like to live either on Maui or Icaria, or maybe in the coastal regions of Costa Rica and sip their wonderful coffee. Moses didn't give you bread, my father did. It's not manna. I'm the bread of life. I'm the good stuff you're looking for. I'm the good stuff. I balance your diet with new and everlasting life, says the Message translation. And the crowd finally comes around. Master, will you give us bread now and forever? Will you give it to us now and forever for eternity? And then the icing on the cake, no pun intended. Jesus responds, I am the bread of life, and the person who comes to me will never be hungry or thirsty again. Ever. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter how much white flour you eat. If you don't have the bread of life, you don't have the nourishment that can give your life quality and meaning. The pastor and author Max Lucado, I talk about him often, tells a wonderful story about Joe Albright, fair and fearless West Texas rancher. I don't know if you've known some West Texas ranchers. We've known them, having lived in Texas on two different occasions. They're a breed all their own, let me tell you. And if you meet one, you never forget them. Max knew Joe Albright, and it seemed like Joe Albright knew everybody in Andrews County where Max was raised. One of Joe's sons by the name of James and Max, they were best friends. They played on the same football team together in high school. Max said, well, actually, Joe's the one who played the football. I just sort of warmed the bench. And one Friday night, James invited Max to stay at his house. It was very late at night. It was a big game and a lot going on after the game. And by the time they reached the property, the hour was past midnight. And James hadn't told his father that Max was going to be coming. They just showed up at the house at midnight. Well, Mr. Albright didn't quite know Max or his vehicle, and so when Max stepped out of the car, well, James was already there at the house, but when the other car came in and Max stepped out of it at that late hour, Mr. Albright popped on a floodlight and aimed it right in Max's face. And Max writes these words, and I quote him. He said, through the glare, I saw this block of a man. I like that description. I think he was in his underwear. And I heard his deep voice, who are you? And I gulped. And my mind moved at the speed of cold honey. And that is cold. And I started to say my name, but I didn't. Mr. Albright doesn't even know me. My only hope was that James would speak up. And then he says a glacier could have melted before he did so. And finally he interceded. Hey, it's okay, Dad. That's my friend Max. He's with me. He's all right. Well, the light went off. And Mr. Albright threw open the door and he said, hey, boys, come on in. The food is in the kitchen and we're ready to feed you no matter how late it is. What changed? What made Mr. Albright flip off the light? Max says, there was only one fact alone. I had aligned myself with his son. My sudden safety had nothing to do with my accomplishments or my offerings or that I was on the same football team. I knew his son. Period. Cheese curls and popcorn and potato chips and good munchies. We're going to have them today. They're all right. But in your quest to find the perfect diet, that wonderful combination of good food and exercise and love and spirituality, which will give quality and meaning to your life, remember Jesus, the bread of life. The Son of the Father, the living bread, the good stuff, the one ingredient which endures forever and will never, ever let you down. Amen.
Would the ushers please come forward as we return to God his tithe and our offerings? Thank you.
Lord God, a wonderful opportunity to share life together, to be in your presence, to be open to your leadership, your guidance, your love, your direction in our lives, and to have a sense of responsibility that goes along with that call to each one of us to follow you into the unknown future before us. A responsibility to give not only these gifts but our lives in dedication to you, and in acceptance of the awesome gifts you give us to share with the world, a world which so desperately needs your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.